Well, thank you very much for inviting me to this wonderful service. I've been speaking now at carol services for 40 years, and I think I've probably done many, many hundreds of carol services. I remember one year, in one week, I did 13 carol services. I was a bit sick of them then, I can tell you. But it's a great joy to be here, and I'm finding, actually, the older I get, the more powerful this story is, and the more the world needs to hear it. And I hope you're finding that as well. So I was challenged by what Bart started off with. How are we going to listen to this story? I was reading an article from a friend of mine, and he was telling a story about a friend of his who went to a pantomime version of the Nativity. I mean, can you believe that? A pantomime version of the Nativity. It's mind-blowing. But in this pantomime version of the Nativity, Herod is the one that killed the babies under 2 years old, making Jesus a refugee to Egypt. King Herod, a pretty vicious monster. In this pantomime version of the Nativity, it's hard to say those words together, but Herod was the giant. And the giant came on stage saying, "Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman." Now that's extraordinary, because I didn't know there was any Englishman around at the original Nativity, but nevertheless. And then he paused, and then he stopped, and he said, "I smell a little boy." Now, this is apparently true. My friend's friend was sitting there, and a little boy in the front row shouted out indignantly, "It wasn't me! I didn't make the smell!" Now, everything's wrong about that scene, isn't it? I mean, I don't think you get anything more wrong. I mean, playing around with a genuine monster like King Herod and making him a sort of funny giant sniffing out boys. And it's so confusing, that scene, that the little boy on the front row thinks he's being accused of making the smell. I mean, it's extraordinary. Everything's wrong about that. And I think, actually, that there's a lot in our thinking that's wrong about this whole Nativity thing. About this whole scene. We can get all kinds of muddled up things. And over the years, and I guess over my 40 years of speaking at carol services, there's all kinds of wrong things that come into our mind about what actually happens. And so it's a great joy to go back to the original and to have a look and just sort of clean away a lot of the nonsense to see how powerful this story is and how we really need it today. In that scene that we just had read to us from Luke chapter 2, you have ordinary people meeting something extraordinary. You have the shepherds on the hillside. Now, they're ordinary people. They're ordinary blokes. They're doing their work. They're going about their daily business. They're on night shift. They're looking after their sheep. Actually, they're slightly below ordinary, if anything, because shepherds were slightly despised as a job. So they're, you know, they're low paid, long hours, through the night shift, going about their ordinary life, getting on with life, arguing, laughing, whatever it is they're doing, worrying about the children, worrying about their wives, trying to make a living, just trying to get on with life. On a night shift. They were pretty tough blokes, because they'd be used to fighting off any wolves that would come to take their sheep. They were watching their sheep, and so they were ready for any dangers to come. Perhaps, you know, thieves coming, they would battle with and fight with. So they were pretty tough, working class blokes on the hillside when something happens. Something extraordinary happens in their normal life. We're told an angel of the Lord appeared. An angel simply means, that word simply means a messenger. And of the Lord, it means a messenger of the God of the Bible. A messenger of the God of the Bible appeared. And everything changed on that night shift. We're told that the glory of the Lord shone around. Now that word glory, it's a word that you hear at Christmas time a lot in the carols and all of that sort of stuff. It's not a word that we use too much today, but it's a word that's used in the Bible a lot, and it's a very special word because it means weight, substance, reality. It's almost as if everything else is like a shadow compared to this substance, this weight, this weightiness, this realness. This is solid rock stuff. So the glory of the Lord, this weight, this substance of the Lord, of God, of the Bible, broke out and shone around them. And immediately their life is turned upside down. Immediately these blokes that were used to fighting off wolves, fighting off people that were coming to nick their sheep, tough sort of blokes, immediately they're utterly terrified, we're told in this version of the Bible. They're terrified, they're afraid, they're absolutely broken. Now I want to say this, I don't know whether that's ever happened to you. We have a very weak view of God. We have a very sort of nice, granddaddy, almost Father Christmassy idea of God. But here, this wasn't Father Christmas turning up, was it? This was something that rocked their world. This was something that was weighty and strong and full of substance that made their world almost like a shadowy existence. This was reality hitting in a way that they'd never known before. See, we often think that, you know, the Christmas story and spiritual things, they're the things of sort of vague, shadowy sort of language. But it's the other way around. Suddenly, God has broken into their life, and actually, their world is rocked. This is not pleasant. I mean, I'm not sure whether most people want an encounter with God like this. But if you think about who God is, at least what the Bible is saying who God is, then actually an encounter with God is not going to be that nice. It's going to rock our world. It can't just carry on the same and say, you carry on the night shift, you know, Isaac, I'll just go down to Bethlehem and see what's going on. Or have you counted the sheep? Suddenly God broke into their life. Something changed. Because this is not some little God. This is the God of reality. The God who made the world, the God that has a plan, the God that has a story. It's not like us now fitting in with him, as if we are sort of saying, oh, I think I'll need you, God, at this point. This is God not fitting into our plans, but coming with his plan. His substance is reality, and it rocks our world. It changes our way of thinking. It changes our perspective. You can't carry on the same. It's frightening. He's a frightening God. He's not some small thing. He's not some lucky charm. He's the God of the Bible. And the first thing is that they're utterly afraid. They're utterly afraid. In fact, they're terrified. They just don't know what to do. Then this messenger of God speaks to them. And he speaks some fantastic things. He says, do not be afraid. You don't actually have to be afraid of this awesome God. You don't have to run and hide. You don't have to pretend and make a make-believe world and hide from this God. No. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour is born. Good news, great joy, a Saviour. I think out of my 40 years of going to carol services, and as I say, probably many hundreds of carol services, this year, last week, this time last week, I was struck more than anything at any carol service. To be honest, I was in tears. It really struck me. The world we live in, Don't we know how bad it is? How broken it is? People just don't know what to do they? People haven't got a clue what to do. Governments get together and say, how can we stop evil? How can we stop war? How can we stop the war that's being waged upon us? And the only way they can think of it, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I'm just saying the only way that people, governments, could think of it is to go to war. It's extraordinary. The things that are going on in the world. Don't we live in a sad world? And what about your world? Have you cried this year? Have you ever cried this year? Has a tear come to your eye? Have you looked out at the world and said, what is going on in my world? Have you ever felt broken and sad? Perhaps some of you have buried half your heart this year. Perhaps some of you are just saying, I don't know what's going on. I don't know about my life. Perhaps the reality of death has hit your life. It's a broken world. It's a sad world. There's stuff to be afraid of. We're back to a world in London where they're taking the bins away in case there's a bomb in them. Some of us remember that from a long time ago. Don't you remember? We got rid of all the bins back in the troubles with Ireland and so forth. We're back. What sort of world are we in? You read stuff. I don't have to name it all. It's just too ugly to name. You read stuff going on with our children. You read about, you know, popular people on the TV and what they've been up to. And don't you feel sick? Don't you say, I don't know whether I want to even hear anymore. Don't you? We need a governor. We need a savior. We need a rescuer. We need someone to come into this world that could govern the world. I mean, listen to our reading that was from Isaiah. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We need someone that is more wonderful than our governments. We need someone who is Mighty God. We need someone who is the Prince of Peace. We need someone in our own lives, as well as in the world. A beautiful one. A gorgeous one. One who's altogether different from everybody else that you could ever imagine. One who would come outside of history, into history, to be a rescuer, a savior. We need good news, don't we? And into this afraid, broken world, the angel says to these ordinary people about their ordinary work, don't be afraid. There's good news. There's good news of great joy. Don't you want great joy in your life? Or are you a grumpy, miserable person that likes being grumpy? I read a thing, I don't know how they even find out these statistics, but I read a thing that you can tell about how grumpy a man is. I'm sorry to mention this, because we're all going to be looking at each other now, by the amount of nose hair he has. If you have a lot of nose hair, you're more grumpy than the person who hasn't got it. So there you are, for Christmas you can get one of those nose hairs clippers or something. It's extraordinary, isn't it? But don't we want to be joyful? Don't we want joy in the depth of our being? Not just a happiness, not just a laugh to give us some relief from a problem world and our own problems, but a joy. Good news of great joy for you and all the people. God has broken in with this message of a savior who can govern you, who can rescue you, who can save you from yourself, from your theories, from this world, and bring you weight, substance, reality, God, in your life, a Saviour is born. Isn't that amazing? I wonder whether you know this. I wonder whether you've ever said, "Be my Saviour, Jesus." I wonder whether you've done what these ordinary men did. They went to Bethlehem. They went to Bethlehem to see the Saviour. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever been? Have you ever come to Bethlehem, to Jesus, the Saviour, the weight and glory of God Himself, and known that substance of God in your life to rescue you from yourself, to rescue you from all the stuff that you've done that, my goodness, we've all done stuff we're ashamed of, haven't you? That baby didn't stay a baby. He went to a cross. I mean, this church has got a very impressive cross outside. And why would a church have a cross on it at Christmas time? Because the baby is the rescuer. Jesus means Saviour. He will save His people from their sins. And how does He do that? By going to a cross. By dying that ugly death. By taking the wrong that you've done and making you right before the living God. The judge of all the earth can declare you right in His own eyes because Jesus has paid the penalty. It's phenomenal, this story. And all I can do is plead with you to come to Bethlehem and see the Saviour, the good news of great joy. There's a little booklet at the back. It's written by a couple of people, and it's called A Very Different Christmas. What are you hoping for this Christmas? There's a little booklet at the back, and I think it's free, and the church would love you to take one of these. It'll take you about 20 minutes, half an hour to read this. What a useful half an hour that would be. I'd love to encourage you to read this. So that you, this Christmas, will not be afraid. Will not be afraid of God. Will not be afraid to stand before Him. But would come to Him knowing that He is the Saviour. Good news of great joy. A Saviour has been born. I hope you'll know that this Christmas.